Knights and Mice podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Knights and Mice podcast. Knights and Mice.
Tights and Fights, baby. We talk about wrestling. I know it doesn't fit. Everybody shut up about it. And welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the Alpha and Omega, Hal Loveland.
Ooh, like that.
And I'm joined today by the Queen of Strong Smile, Danielle Radford.
Hello. That's a good one. Not so strong today, but I will suck it up.
You don't like that one?
No. I think it's good. I'm just like, I'm not strong today.
You're not strong. Yes, you are.
I'm very
You're strong because you're here.
Ooh. Oh. Look at that.
There's strength in weakness.
Oh.
How about that?
Because the greatest love of all is what we have. Okay.
You know what? I believe the children are our future.
I've heard that.
Anyway. We have a special guest here. He's a comedian and host of the Max Fun podcast, Who Shotcha? It's Iffy Don't Work Stiffy Wadaway.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah. Don't work. Does that mean I'm not a jobber?
It means don't hit you real hard.
Yeah, you don't hit in real life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No real hits.
Yeah.
You're a pro.
Before we get into our topic today, which I'm very excited, I thought I was going to miss this recording because I had something pop up last minute, but like this is the confluence of all these things that are wonderful. But tell us about you getting into wrestling. How long have you been a fan? What's your journey been like?
So, my dad is a Nigerian immigrant, and him and his friends would all kind of like meet up for pay-per-views as if it was like a boxing match, and they would treat it as if it was real. And the reason that's very important is because, you know, there was no adult there to be like, oh, everything's fine, Iffy. This is fake. and this all happened to lead up to when Kane buried The Undertaker, put him in a coffin, lit it on fire, and I was crying.
Oh, no.
Because I was like, he was like, he killed his brother. And you know, my dad didn't watch Raw, so I didn't see when Undertaker came back in the following Raw. So for young Iffy, Undertaker was dead for a minute and murdered by his own brother Kane, and I was just lightly traumatized. But I do remember there was a point where my dad and his friends figured out that it was all a work because they switched to boxing out of nowhere, and we no longer saw pay-per-views, but it was a good time of our lives. They would scream at the screen like, man, they were getting worked.
Do you remember what did it?
I have a guess. Was it Mae Young giving birth to a hand? Was that it? Was that what
I was gonna guess? Katie Vick.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're like the Undertaker, Kane bring Undertaker's got to be like 98, 99. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking we're in that era.
Oh, yeah.
But if you can get through that 6 year period and make it to Katie Vick, the human hand has got, I mean, come on. surfing on the coffin, Big Show surfing on his dad's coffin.
Oh, yeah.
That could be one.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think it was?
I have no clue, but it might have been the hand. That might have been the one where they all kind of stood with their hands on their hips, staring at the TV. I was like, okay, it's time to watch something else.
Maybe they were like me, and they were mostly like, that hand should be mixed. That hand is too light.
That's true.
Well, that was the thing that threw you off.
Yep.
Was
yeah.
the
well, it's half Mark Henry's hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should have been a darker hand, especially when they brought that hand back for the Raw anniversary. And it was like, no, that hand should be a mixed kid.
Yeah, yeah.
As a side note, I mean, as a kid who grew up as a mixed child, I always thought that everybody came out of, like, as a child being about my shade, and then as I got older, I would get darker and be like my dad.
So, oh, baby.
That was my form of kayfabe until I got about 11, and I was like, you know, I think I'm about as dark as I'm going to get.
Yeah, I was like, it's not getting any darker, huh?
Yeah.
All right, then.
Julian, quick question for you. Did you also think you'd be able to, like, bench a full truck by the time you were this age? What are you benching right now? We haven't checked in a while.
Oh, see, I haven't done traditional workouts in a while, but I probably am up to like about 175.
You're a liar. Nice. Double that. Double that. For sure double that.
Yeah, yeah, today was chest day. You know, I'm hitting 225.
Wow.
Seven reps, baby.
See? Julian, once get out of here with your 175.
I know. There's a new king here. Pooped all over it. But I just have to let people know I'm swole.
That's right. You are filling out that jersey.
It's okay. Yeah. We're swole mates.
I'm like, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to like make myself wide on the side instead of out front to be like, I also have exercised.
Like I literally like almost passed out on the way here on my walk.
Oh.
It was bad.
It's too hot out.
Well, it's normally fine. It's like only a half an hour, but it's just again when you've been sick all week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
an idiot.
You're recovering.
I'm too proud.
Yeah.
It's too much strength. You're almost too strong.
It's like when people go bald because they have too much testosterone. It's like that.
I thought it was because your hair gets frightened of your head. You're like, ah! Because I got to get out of here. Anyway, this week we're going to dedicate our entire show to one area of wrestling that deserves some extra attention. I've been waiting for how long have we been doing this podcast?
About 3 years.
Three years I've been waiting for this. Maybe longer. This is our main event. Whoa! Holy shit! Chris Jericho.
Whew.
He's been known as Lionheart, Y2J, and a ton of other nicknames, and he's had one of the most decorated careers in wrestling. We're just days away from his first world title match in All Elite Wrestling. That is this Saturday at All Out?
I believe so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Saturday, September 1st. Yep, I remember days. Nope.
Don't forget to pay your rent.
August 31st?
Yeah.
August 31st.
Still don't forget to pay your rent.
Pay your rent. It's the 31st of the month. Okay. We are going to take a look back at Jericho's career and see what has made him so great. I became aware of him the first time around 2000 when I was getting back into wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on his rise in WWE. He had just won the European title and then dropped it to Eddie Guerrero and then embarked on what would eventually lead him to his first world title in WWE about a year and a half after that. And I just, for me, he was always a complete package. He was the same height that I was, like around 6 foot. I thought that was really cool that somebody my height could be muscular and a championship wrestler and just one of the best talkers. Like, no matter what you gave him, he made it work. Just, my all-time favorite wrestler, bar none. Iffy, what do you think about Chris Jericho?
Oh, man. Chris Jericho was, you know, if we're talking about like my wrestling history, that was the number one move that we would try and do on each other is the walls of Jericho. The walls of Jericho.
Oh, that's very dangerous.
Yeah, I remember screaming that as you grab the two legs of your friends and lean back and they're just slapping on the grass.
Iffy, were you like a walls of Jericho or a traditional lion tamer type? Would you guys ever try to do
like
the knee
in
on
the
back?
Back
of the neck?
Oh, no, we wouldn't do the knee on the back of the neck. We would just do like spread the legs, grab both legs and lean back. Mm-hmm. Just because that was the probably the safest. But yeah, no, the apartment I grew up in had this like wooden play place that would just give you all the splinters, but it had four corners and metal bar, so it was the perfect place. And it just made such a great sound when you would stomp and punch that we would have these matches.
Iffy, they told
the time.
You not to try this at home.
Oh, but I was trying it all the time. But yeah, it was great until like, you know, the Attitude Era, because my stepmom was like, she would not want me to do the suck it. And she was like, don't you do that. Don't do it. And I remember one time I didn't realize she was standing outside and like my back was to her, to where she was standing. And I did the most, just the perfect, like wide body arm stretch suck it like three big times. And I was like, it was like, bow, bow. And on the third one, I just hear, F-A. I was like, ah. But yeah, we would just get into it. But Walls of Jericho, yeah. So Chris Jericho was super fun, especially like that was like right around the Y2J era, mm-hmm. era too. And he just was cool. He was cool.
Yeah, so cool.
He was the cool one.
Super cool. Danielle?
Well, when we're talking about my best friend, Chris Jericho, as everyone on this podcast knows, is my best friend. Yeah, no, it was, I kind of remember him in WCW. I talked about this. I didn't watch a whole lot of WCW, but I always knew that he was like the man of 2000 holds. I mean, my major introduction was when they were doing the Y2J countdown. And he comes out and break the walls down, and you think he's going to be the biggest thing in the world, and then he's immediately buried. Just immediately buried.
We're going to get pretty heavy into his WWE time But before that, let's go back to the start of his career, wrestling in Canada, and then as a journeyman wrestling in Mexico, where he became Corazón de León. That was where Lionheart really sort of took shape. Japan as well, legendary Japanese career, mm-hmm. and in Tennessee in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, where he was one half of the Thrill Seekers, a tag team with Lance Storm.
Oh wow!
How much have either of you seen of his work abroad, sort of his pre-ECW, WCW, WWE?
Zero.
Not a ton.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It's interesting. I've seen some of his Smoky Mountain stuff. I've seen very little of Japan and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like, it's there a little bit, but, you know, you're still, it's like Baby Jericho.
Yeah.
He's little Baby Jericho.
He's so
baby
fun
Jericho.
In his voice.
Yeah.
Hal, please read that fun fact. I'm begging you.
All right, I've got fun fact for you. I was going to do it. I swear. Chris's first idea for a name was Jack Action, which Lance Storm said was stupid. He was right. He came up with the name Jericho after the Walls of Jericho album from a German metal band, and he wanted to be called Christian Chris Jericho, who would fling Bibles out into the crowd. So always coming up with ideas.
Well, it's funny because looking at the Smoky Mountain picture,
yeah.
He has like this cross around his neck, and he's mm-hmm. like, it's still like, I'm going to hold on to that.
I would say
Jack Action's only done because it is only dumb because it should be Jaction. Jaction. And now we're talking.
Yeah. I'd be interested in Jaction. When you look at that picture of him, do you think that guy in the arm cast should be called Jaction? He had too much Jaction last night, and now he's at a cast.
Yeah, yeah.
I could also, yeah, well. then Paul Heyman started working with Jericho in ECW, branded him as Lionheart. I think he was the first person to take Taz off of his feet. Is that right? Yeah, that was like a big moment for him.
That's a huge deal, yeah.
Wow.
A lot of the moveset that we see, his little springboard in the corner, dropkick, he was doing in ECW. I obviously did it beforehand. I'm pretty sure that's something he picked up in Mexico. But he would win the ECW Television Championship. He had matches with Mick Foley, RVD, Sabu, all the usual suspects in the land of extreme, Lance Storm, everybody. They were all there. He was there for what was probably the golden age of ECW and was working with everybody. Just an interesting, interesting to see him in an extreme wrestling promotion that he's like the white meat baby face, like none of the edge that you're gonna see later on.
Yeah, because even as a baby face, he's still like white meat never.
And at that point, it's like shaved face,
yeah,
long blonde hair.
And dry,
good looking guy.
Shit.
And one other thing.
Why was their hair so dry?
Well, Heyman, actually, fun fact about that Heyman actually made Jericho wet his hair because he thought he looked too clean when it was just, you know, he had that like super blonde blowout that he had.
Yeah, for the most part, Jericho's not a wet hair. He's more of a wet hair guy now that he's got like the shoulder length.
Yeah.
But a lot of his time. He was not a wet hair guy. He was more like a proto AJ Styles in that
all
way.
All of them back there had hair that could have went up with the lightest of sparks.
Sure.
All of them had that fucking tumbleweed ass blonde hair.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Conditioner.
No, they're using hair and mane, baby.
See, and that's
and horse and, conditioner.
And then we came all the way around to all of a sudden now everyone's hair is like dripping and gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like nasty. Moist hair.
I just find a, there's got to be a difference between tumbleweed and Jerry Curl. And I don't know why wrestling hasn't found that happy difference yet. Or
yeah.
That happy middle.
I don't like the super wet hair just because it looks greasy and like either you just got out of the shower or you haven't showered in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Those are the two things I think.
That's all it could be.
Yeah. Those are the only two choices.
It's quite disgusting.
Yeah. No, I just looking at like babyface Jericho, like I'd like to think of, you know, if the WWE universe ever got as wonky and big as any other universe, I would like the what if like the McMahons got behind Jericho instead of Hunter Hemsley. Like what would that look like? What would the WWE look like if Stephanie McMahon married Chris Jericho?
Oh my God. I do want to watch that episode of What If.
Like, what?
Coming to Disney Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait for the animated version.
You know, Vince is in there like, hey, come on, Disney. You know you want to buy the WWE. You get the FX, the XFL with it too, baby. Just come on.
Oh, Christ, can you imagine WWE World at Disneyland? Oh, Christ. Oh,
it smells like gold dust in this ride. Fantastic.
Oh, man.
In 1996, Chris was brought to WCW as part of their cruiserweight division, so he got a lot of exposure that way. However, in a wildly mismanaged company, it's very important if you're not one of the five guys at the top of the card to maximize whatever opportunities you get. Mm. And he did that with very little time on television and the ability to do pretty much whatever he wanted. He became the heel, the great heel that we all know, and created what I think is the greatest segment in WCW history during his feud with Dean Malenko, where he declared himself the man of 1,004 holds. Here's a clip.
Malenko, you claim to be the man of 1,000 holds, but I counted, and you know about 60, but I know 1,004, and I wrote them all down. Here we go. Hold one, arm drag. Hold two, arm bar. Hold three, the moss-covered, three-handled family grandunzel.
Why doesn't he just mail us this list and we'll announce it?
Bar.
He's just ranting.
Number five, the Saskatchewan spinning nerve hold.
This must be meathead microphone night. You think so?
He's got 998 to go.
That's the second arm bar.
Get the arm out of here. Shut up.
Okay, I'm going to play a little bit of the rest of this just to get the real effect, because they legitimately go to commercial.
Oh, yeah, they came to commercial.
She's only 3 years old, but she already puts in a longer day.
Back fan.
Hold number 712. Arm bar.
Oh, shit.
It's so good.
It's so brilliant. Does anybody have, like, memories from this time? Did your dad, did he watch WCW as well as WWF at the time? Or?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only closest thing is I remember watching, he took me to the Forum before it got remodeled when it was still blue, and I saw a dark match. Before, at the time, I didn't understand the differences between dark matches and taped matches, and I was so confused why I couldn't go home and try and watch. Like, I was telling my friends, keep an eye out for me, even though I was like, even if it was live, you would not have seen me because... I was in the nosebleed of the nosebleed, but I was telling all my friends, like, watch out for me. I was watching the match. I couldn't tell you who was wrestling because that's how far I was from, like, I did not know, and I wasn't paying attention. I was just focusing so hard on watching these bodies wrestle.
Two greasy Tic Tacs wrestling each other, and I saw it. I'm on TV.
Just turn tune in.
The show's about me now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
do you have any memories of this time, Danielle? Have you gone back and watched any of it?
Yeah, that's some of the stuff that I went back and watched, was some of, like I said, things like that, and like his whole Goldberg run. Like, those were the things that I really went back, because I knew that that was the stuff that everyone was really in love with.
Yeah, and that was the end of his time in WCW, him trying to create a program with Goldberg, him getting it over against what seemed to be the wishes of the creative team and the booker, who I think was Dusty or Ric Flair. Ric Flair, I think, might have been booking at the time. Whoever had the book.
I'm pretty sure Bischoff and Hogan were.
It was Bischoff and Hogan?
Yeah.
Well, even better. Yeah. So he gets it over. Goldberg doesn't want to do business with him. And it winds up being this huge, huge, huge build that ends with just the same squash match we got from everything else. It ends abruptly. He's kind of done. He leaves. Goes to New Japan for just a little while, and then finally signs with the company that he had wanted to sign with, I guess, throughout his career, something he had watched growing up, which is the WWF. He would, as we talked about, we had the countdown to the millennium, and he shows up. Maybe one of the biggest debuts a company could give you is cutting a promo on one of the two or three top stars in the company, The Rock. Here's a clip.
Welcome to Raw is Jericho!
First time we heard that, you guys.
Yeah. And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation.
Remember when we all cared about the millennium?
Yeah.
And now
that
the Y2J problem is here, this company, from the front office idiots
to all the amateurs in the dressing room, including this one, to everybody watching tonight, we'll never, ever be the same again.
Y2J, did he say Y2J?
And Jericho has said since then, he's like, they've shown him doing interviews and stuff. He said that he does not like how this turned out because he says the facials that he was making are just ridiculous. And he's like, I would go back and change almost everything about it except for the buildup and maybe a bunch of the words in the promo. So
yeah, I think it was funny because like it was hazy for me, but I definitely remember that.
Yeah,
that's such a nice touch. Yeah, I remember Raw's Jericho was a true moment for someone to like step in and be like, this is all about me now. It was like me back in the day when I was trying to get those kids to watch me on TV when I wasn't on TV. And I like the Y2J because it also reminds me of how big the Y2K bug was.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Like everyone really thought it was about to go down.
It's amazing how long he remained Y2J too. I think he did it well into 2001, 2000. Yeah, 2001 was about when he started to turn. And then I think Y2J, I think he might have stopped using that nickname. But.
And just as a reminder that sometimes Vince McMahon does have good ideas, originally Jericho, when he pitched the Y2J branding, he wanted his finisher to be called the Y2J problem. But then Vince said, no, your name is Y2J. That's what we're going to brand you as going forward.
Oh, God. Oh. Could you imagine him still hitting a move called the Y2J problem?
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's like, oh man, and it's been responded with a dial-up drop.
Yeah, here comes the slap bracelet. The slap bracelet's coming.
Uh-oh, the net zero neck brace.
The Mattel handheld football game. The Mattel handheld football game. My God. Anyway, we're gonna dig right into Chris Jericho's WWE career. That is after the break. If you have any thoughts on what we've discussed so far, some early Chris Jericho memories you want to share, you can do that on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram via the links we have in our show notes. We'll be back after a break to discuss the rest of the mighty Chris Jericho's career from WWE and beyond. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Listen, I'm a hotshot Hollywood movie producer. You have until I finish my glass of kombucha to pitch me your idea. Go.
All right, it's called Who Shot Ya, a movie podcast that isn't just a bunch of straight white dudes. I'm Iffy Whiteyway, the new host of the show and a certified BBN.
BBN?
Buff black nerd.
I'm Alonzo Duraldi, an elderly gay and legit film critic who wrote a book on Christmas movies.
I'm Drea Clark, a loud white lady from Minnesota.
Each week, we talk about a new movie in theaters and all the important issues going on in the film industry.
It's like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner meets Cruising.
And if it helps seal the deal, I can flex my muscles while we record each episode.
I'm sorry, this is a podcast? I'm a movie producer. How did you get in here?
Iffy, quick, start flexing.
Bicep, lats, chest. Who Shot Ya? Dropping every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dave Hill from Show Business. And while I'm not from Canada, my grandfather Clarence Vincent Blake Sr. was, and he wouldn't shut up about it. My grandfather moved on to that great penalty box in the sky way back in the 80s. Still, all these years later, I can't help but wonder, what do we really know about Canada and its people? Which is why my friend Chris Gersbeck and I decided to make So, You're Canadian. Brand new podcast from the Maximum Fun Network, on which I attempt to get to know our neighbors to the north, one Canadian at a time. Coming to Maximum Fun, August 27th. And I'm not sorry.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford.
And
Iffy Whiteyway.
Chris Jericho's time from his WWE debut to now is defined by the characters he embodied in each phase of his career. There's the Y2J, the best in the world at what he does, the light-up jacket, the list of Jericho, and the Alpha. But no matter how he changed, his WWE music was always a version of this.
They kept this part being way too long for two.
I love the countdown.
No, I like the countdown, but remember when the countdown was like a legit 30 seconds?
Yeah, they were too long.
It would start during the commercial break.
Oh, it's our buddy.
Defend your back!
Judas and
your priest.
That's the only part anyone knows in this song.
Maybe what I've got is not from the least. Bring it to the stage.
Step in the arena and break the wall down. Arena and break the wall down.
This probably hit the hardest of all of like this band's stuff.
Yeah.
For me, I think that this is right where they nailed it. So yeah. Of course, this was like right before they stopped using these guys.
You know what? At least we got their magnum opus.
It's just crazy. Heel, babyface, it never mattered. It was always break the walls down.
It's such a great theme song.
He's like even said before that like he pitched like, oh, Vince, what if I change my music? And Vince just didn't want it. He's like, what if I remixed it a little bit more? And they're like, nope, it's just going to stay this.
Okay, but what if Fozzy did something?
No, we're good. Thank you. Thank you, Chris Jericho. Appreciate that. Really good idea. We're not going to do it. Let's start with the Y2J persona. Let's talk about some highlights. First, we'll probably be working with China over the IC title. They were co-champions. They were like together, aligned with one another. And then he finally won the title from her, only to lose it to Kurt Angle.
Mm. Oof.
That was a great that's the start of his rise.
Yeah.
Then he has his first WrestleMania match with Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit, where there's no way on earth you can have a bad match.
Yeah.
And
also, there's no way on earth you can watch that now, right?
Yeah.
You can, but I choose not to.
Yeah.
Not easy. Yeah.
I don't really watch the Benoit matches now. I
can't remember the last one I watched. I really can't. Like, he'll appear sometimes on TV. I'm like, oh, he was still around. Like, I forgot.
Yeah.
I have trouble
and
placing
it feels
the exact.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his, one of his, I think, underrated feuds. People talk about his feud with Triple H, which is a fantastic feud. His match at Fully Loaded 2000, which was the July pay-per-view that year, was a last man standing match between the two of them. And that was really the height. I know they've come back and wrestled each other numerous times since, but that to me was the best match of their rivalry. And that really
helped. Well,
they're
both at like peak them.
Yeah.
Like both in athletic ability, in wrestling ability, and although, man, Jericho hasn't lost a fucking step, but
man,
but there is, you know, there's something to be said for like youth, when they're both like just about to like become the biggest things in wrestling, because Trips was like he was top, you know, he was a top guy, and Jericho was a top guy, but like this was right before they hit where they're at now, which is like legendary status. We will be talking about these two men who have come to shape wrestling in different ways. We will be talking, they are like etched into the annals of time.
Yeah. At this point, Jericho's like 27 years old.
I almost said annals.
Something like that.
Yeah.
He's like,
saying, what's the age difference between him and Trip?
I think they're close to the same age.
Because, like, if you look at them now, Trip, look, well, I guess Trip was wrestling way more than Chris was.
Yeah.
Because Trip looked like anytime he's like, it's time to bring the hammer out, I'm like, bro, no. you're going into the Undertaker roster with me of just like, sit this one out, Chief.
Paul Levesque was born in 69.
Oh,
Jericho
using his
was
government.
Born in 70.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
Oh, so he was 30 for that.
Only a year apart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put them next to each other,
well, there's also, like, you have to remember that Trips also, for a while, was wrestling and basically helping run a company.
Yeah.
I imagine that nobody...
I imagine no
McMahon or McMahon-adjacent person gets more than, like, 4 hours of sleep.
That's what I was saying. I think anyone who works in any capacity with Vince gets 5 years shaven off of their life.
Yeah, it's like being the president.
Yeah.
Or it's like just after you're done, you're just a husk.
I wonder if Triple H gets him the same gift every year for Christmas. It's like, oh, a gift card for a 6-month cruise. I'll use this later. No, you should use it now.
He's just got like 10 years of cruises stacked up.
Yeah. Someday he'll just go. They'll just
put him on an ice floe.
Yeah, they'll just fire his coffin into the ocean like the end of Star Trek 2. Anyway, some other highlights of this time. His feud with The Rock during the invasion angle is really good and I think underappreciated.
Oh, yeah.
They feuded over the WCW title, had a great match. That was the first time he won that belt.
You know what was weird that I'm going to just come out and come clean about right now? is like during the like WCW era, I thought they were all the same company. Like I didn't realize that they were separate companies. Like when they had like, what was it? It was like WCW versus WWF. Like the yeah. like, why are they going against each other? They're the same company.
I mean, it's a good question, even if you did know.
Yeah. Like, and it's funny because that was like, if a mark back then would be like, if you're an idiot, but now with NXT and WWE, like it's like they are the same company.
Yeah.
But back then, like, yeah, man.
Oh, little if.
So like, what I'm trying to say is, I have my wrestling memory. Like when we dip back into that well,
yeah.
Like I might be pulling from either. Either
oh,
company,
because yeah, yeah.
because they were all the same.
Because Baby Gift didn't know the difference.
Yeah.
He just saw men slamming men.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple other highlights from this period. One is, of course, him winning the unifying the world titles, the first one to do it by beating The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin in one night, which he talked about for a year after. And then a decent main event against Triple H, which was overshadowed by the Hogan Rock match.
Oh, yeah.
And many other things. And also, Triple H is a babyface. Come on. That wasn't going to last.
No.
Not at all.
Also, this was his first time working with Shawn Michaels was during this go-around. Was that the match you were there for?
Was that 19?
Yeah.
Yeah, then yes.
And then, of course, he does the favors for someone who he thinks the company is positioning to be a big star, only to have that person's career completely sputter out and have them disappear to nowhere until they dressed as Vanilla Ice on a Halloween episode of SmackDown. I'm talking about John Cena.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how we got Cena.
That was Cena's first pay-per-view match was against Jericho. Jericho lost to him and then left. And they've talked about this before. I think on the network they might have done one of Jericho's live interviews was with Cena. They talked about it. He's like, I put you over and then you like tanked onto the bottom of the card and disappeared. But yeah, that was his thing on the way. He seems like the kind of guy who has no problem doing business.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I missed the rise of Cena. I've talked about that. I'm not real big on the Ruthless Aggression era.
Mm-hmm.
So every time someone has said that he dressed like Vanilla Ice for a Halloween episode, I think that they're kidding.
It's no, he had the wig on and everything. Like,
yeah.
It's amazing. The
Wait,
jacket.
What? So that's how he got the rap persona is he did Vanilla Ice.
They knew he was a rapper.
I mean, I'm just surprised that like from the moment we found out that, you know, John is a legitimate rap fan that we haven't put him on Sway in the Morning yet. So he's like, yeah, I can speak Taiwanese, not Chinese. Let's go. Get on your knees. John Cena's. Can't see me. Got a baby. Bella Haiti. Like, I want to see him, like, go for it. Mostly because he might just surprise us.
I asked him about that at the Bumblebee junket. I was like, would you ever, do? Because I was the only one there that was, like, a supermarket that would ask that. It's like, you know, you had a rap album and he goes platinum and, like, he did the W thing. And I was
my gosh.
Nice. It was for a Nerdist. And he, And so I asked, like, would you ever, like, restart your rap career? And he was like, I feel like I'm a little old for that now. I'll leave that to the youngins.
Wow.
Hilarious. Yeah. He did. There is video of him when he was in that persona. He would go to the parking lot and do rap battles with fans. Like, people would show up and they would legitimately, and he wouldn't be doing it in that half meter, like, I'm here to fight Christian. He's as slow as a log.
Yeah.
And then the crowd would react, when I lay you down, I'm going to turn you into a dog. He's going full speed, and it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, Cena
he really
can, like,
could rap. Wow.
I mean, he has a whole album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want me to keep going, Julian?
You don't want us to keep talking
about
John Cena?
You don't want me to keep talking about his rapping, his raps? Anyway,
his
after...
rippity raps? Hip-hop, hippity rap.
Rippity rip rap rap. I'm John Cena, and I'm here to pop the crowd. After a break from WWE, Chris Jericho returned in 2007 after a bunch of binary code vignettes because The Matrix had only put out their one good movie 8 years earlier. And his return really got started after he turned heel on Shawn Michaels and ended the Y2J character to become a colder suit-wearing version of himself based on Nick Bockwinkel from the AWA and Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men. And here is an example of one of his, like, he got better. He got better. This what character was better than Y2J,
Fine
which was
line.
Great. Here is an example of his promo work from that time.
And it's time for me to move on. I have matured. If it's one thing I learned from Shawn Michaels, it's that I could have entertained you for years and years. I could have been a puppet dancing on a string with you, manipulating my wires to the end of time, and you still would not have respected me the way that you respect Shawn Michaels. You would never idolize me and adore me like that, and that is not fair. There is no one more dominant in the WWE than me. And everybody can tell, it's obvious, whether it's the people here or a GM in the back, that if there's a title match, that nobody deserves it more than me.
Boo, they said.
Boo him.
They booed him.
Boo this man.
the queen of putrescence. This is where you get like his defining feud with Shawn Michaels that ends with the ladder match where he knocks his own tooth out.
Well, and his ability, like you said, and like not just because for a lot of people when they do a character change, it's mostly just like an image change. Maybe they change a couple of maybe they change a couple of moves, whatever. This is when he does when he changes his character, his whole attitude changes, his demeanor changes, his posture changes.
Yeah,
he really becomes like a new version of Chris Jericho.
And I know he's someone who has studied some improv and has improvised somewhat and enjoys comedy. And he did take some of that time away. He took time to develop. He's always been involved in television somewhat. He hosted that show where people threw stuff off of a building.
What?
Yeah. You look it up. I don't even want to get into that. We have a limited amount of time and we shouldn't talk about that game show, which is very bizarre. But he did it. He was getting that game show host money for a brief amount of time. Another highlight was his feud with Rey Mysterio, where he was trying to take his mask.
Better than trying to take his son.
His story behind that was really good. Like his pitch to Vince is like, "I'm gonna try and take his mask." It's like, why? Because I'm a bully and I want it.
Yeah.
And they worked out that spot where during the 619 he's able to pull the mask off, and that I think convinced Vince. He didn't think they could pull it off, but they did it like two or three times in a row. Just before a show to show him that
they can get the mask off quickly and not make it look weird.
Yeah, they can do that move. Mm-hmm. And that sort of helped do it. He also teamed with the Big Show. We got Jericho during this era.
Ooh,
during this era.
Yeah.
What do you remember this era of Jericho with me?
I mostly remember just catching bits and pieces of Jericho because wasn't this like when like Big Show would always pair with like a smaller dude and mm-hmm. then they would just have these like super fun tag teams?
Yes.
So like just having like someone as mouthy as Jericho with the Big Show was just super fun to watch them interact. And so, like, I remember just enjoying this. That's one. Jericho is something that stands out to me in his career, which is just seeing those two together. Because also, like, Jericho looks so small compared to the Big Show.
Yes,
I'm like, yep, we're going full like Lenny and what's his face, the other guy,
Squiggy. No.
Vegeta and Nappa.
I know we're talking
about.
There
we go. Yeah. Let's do a reference I do know.
I always think about Spike and the little dog from the cartoons. Like, hey, Spike, what do you want to do?
Oh,
you go
yes.
Nah. Yeah, we don't want to do that. That's kind of reminded me of that.
Oh, yeah.
Great dynamic.
Always.
Great heel. And then get another series of smaller men to turn on the Big Show. He's always getting turned on by people.
Chris Jericho has been in quite a few movies, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How many of them have you seen?
None.
MacGruber?
But I haven't seen MacGruber.
Oh, I saw that.
I hear everyone say that it's good. I believe you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe you. I won't even add my opinion to it. Whether I like it or not, it's irrelevant.
It is irrelevant.
But it's a movie. Did you find the TV show?
No.
Yeah.
I did find where he was in a movie called Immortal Kombat in 94. But no, I did not.
I like that I've
TV
set you
show.
Both down a Google rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. Now, yeah. I was like, let me see. Let
try
me
and find.
Yeah, you just going straight to the
Chris
IMDb.
Jericho game show. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, and I'm not seeing it. I do see that he did a real life heavy metal band, makes a living by day as performers at kiddie birthday parties.
Yeah. In the meantime, I'm going to tell you about his next break, which happened in 2010, and he returned in 2012. This is a much softer change from the other versions. He wore a light-up jacket and had a pretty similar vibe on mic towards the end of his last stint. They're very similar to one another. This is where he has his feud with CM Punk over who is the best in the world. He takes 5 months off and then returns in the Royal Rumble. He loses to Fandango at WrestleMania, who was positioned for a huge push.
Oh. and just again, because like, we all liked that fucking song, man.
Listen, if Jericho puts you, Fandango can work. He is a
no,
good,
he can work, but he
worker.
Got over because we liked the song.
We did like the song. Jericho again. Jericho puts him over, and then the guy. I think he got hurt after that. I think shortly after that, Fandango got hurt, and that put the kibosh.
Busted his thigh or something.
Yeah,
dang.
His thigh or his knee or his shoulder. Like something's wrong. He's back now. Looks great. Back with Tyler Breeze where he belongs. Also, they put over the Wyatt family during this era and feuded with Dean Ambrose. Remember that?
I do.
Don't
remember
we all remember?
Actually, weirdly enough, I do remember.
I went to the. I was at the Raw in Los Angeles where they introduced the plant. The plant that Ambrose gave him after destroying the Geritron.
I loved that.
Yeah.
This is also, we're starting to get into that era of like more funny Jericho.
Yeah.
Like less of, you know, I'm angry and I need everything, you know, less of like what he is now, especially.
Is this the list yet?
We're getting there.
We're almost there. By the way, at that show, I got to be backstage for it.
Oh, okay.
And I was walking through the halls. Just subtle flex. I had a friend who was a carpenter there. Ooh. So we would hang out.
Major flex.
She would show us, like, we'd walk around the set and stuff beforehand, and then you sit in catering and you talk to no one. You are not supposed to talk to, like, you talk to somebody. The reason I know Simon Gotch is because he came and talked to us.
Yeah.
And then I became friends with him. But outside of that, like, you're not supposed to approach people unless my friend, her name was Wynn, she introduced someone to us. And I walked past Jericho and I started to sweat. I got so excited, and that doesn't happen to me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very fortunate to be around a bunch of people, and I just never that.
And are they just like level. In the zone, or are they looking at you like, who is this?
He's just walking somewhere. I think he looked first. He gave me there's another person here. I'm just going to see who they are and then keep going. But for me, I was like, I was just a foot away from Chris Jericho.
You should have snuck a wink in. Like,
there
you go. I can't say nothing. But I
feel like that's the thing that you do when you want people to know that you know who they are. I think Chris probably.
I mean, the only time I've gotten a wink like that, I'm going to make this quick, Julian, when I was working for the improv, there was like some Brendan Small was doing like his like concert thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence Fishburne was there, and he's like in this all white like fucking uncle like silk like linen suit, and he's out there and he's smoking a cigarette. I never really get starstruck. I could not take my eyes off this man. Like, I just full on am just staring. But, like, anytime he looks towards me, I'm looking away. Like, no, I'm just looking at this bad mural.
Right. That's sort of Robin Williams.
Yeah. I'm looking at this shitty mural on the side. And then, like, he smokes, he finishes a cigarette, and he walks past me, and he just winks at me, and he goes in, and I was like, oh, you knew I was staring at you. It's like, I love you. So that's my wink story.
That's so good.
It was so charming, too, when I was like, that's why you're famous.
Give me any pill. I'll take them all.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm ready.
The whole bottle.
I'm ready for the Matrix.
Yeah, please.
Let's go.
Show me how deep that rabbit hole is, Dad. So business picks up during this time for Jericho in 2016, where he starts wearing a scarf, little tiny douche hat, and aligns with Kevin Owens.
Yes.
And starts, again, like we talked about this briefly, but he is one of those guys who can get anything over.
Yeah.
If you can get a clipboard with a piece of paper on it, then you can do anything. And at this point, he is 46 years old doing this and doing it at a high level. And we get the list of Jericho. Here's a clip.
Originally, the list of Jericho was all about Mick Foley. But now, guess what? I'm starting a new list. It's a list of stupid idiots. And all of you are on it.
Who has the best friendship in the WWE?
Who? 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 The New Day.
Oh, yeah, Kofi, you think so? Huh? You're questioning our friendship? You know what? You just made the list.
Oh, no.
Oh, here we go.
Kofi, no, not a Y.
Chris, we hear your challenge, and quite frankly, a challenge of that weight warrants a champion's huddle. And Kevin, I guess you can get in, but Christopher, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh, really?
Oh no.
Oh really? I'm not allowed in your little huddle?
No, sir.
Really?
No.
You know what? Big E, you just made the list.
Woods is laughing.
Oh, Woods is laughing? Really, Woods? Oh yeah, you're laughing? You know what? You know what's gonna happen?
No, no,
oh, you know what's happening to you right now?
No,
huh? You know what's gonna happen?
No.
Woods?
No.
You just made the list!
Instantly over.
Yeah. So good.
Instant over.
Such a good bit. You know, just that cadence every time. I heavily remember this because it was just all the marks kept saying, "You just made the list," to each other. It was like a fun joke. It was like when Napoleon Dynamite came out and everyone knew the jokes, and so you kept saying it. But also, my favorite part of this tag team is you knew someone was going to double cross. And you knew, you knew it, and everyone was just waiting for the moment. And it was almost like they played into it by just heightening how much of friends they were, which made it more sweet because everyone knew someone's going to double cross. How's it going to end?
And the way that they ended it.
Yeah, the Festival of Friendship.
The Festival of Friendship is still one of the best of those segments they have ever done.
And again, Jericho sells it when he picks up the list and it's the back of it to the floor. He goes, "Why is my name on this list?" And he picks it up and you see List of Owens on it. It's such a great... He is responsible for whether that moment lives or dies.
And you see the heart, like genuine, real heartbreak.
Yeah.
Also, that show was called Downfall.
Oh, there you go, because stuff fell down off of a roof.
It did. He asked you a bunch of questions on top of a metropolitan landscape.
And then your stuff would, it was like your stuff.
Yeah. Well, if you didn't get it, then they would throw the money off the side of the building.
Oh.
Yeah. Not sure why it didn't work. And now John Cena has that show where you have to climb up a building. Who knew?
It's all building related content here in the WWE.
Yeah, I can't wait for Hardcore Holly show where you have to just make a building. It's the free show.
Yeah, that's the cycle.
Yeah. During this period, he wins his first U.S. title as well, making him, I think, the only complete Grand Slam champion in history. He's held tag belts. He's held both world titles. He's held the Intercontinental, the European, the Hardcore, and the U.S. Championship. He also held the Television Championship in WCW, and the Cruiserweight Championship, whose lineage is, now the Cruiserweight belt. I don't think that's the same line.
No. I don't think they're connecting it.
He held all of it. He did pretty much everything you could do except for the Universal, which I don't really count.
I'm not worried about that fruit roll-up belt.
Yeah, nobody needs that fruit roll-up belt. That's fine. The payoff match with Owens, however, was not what Vince wanted. If you watch the 24 or the 365, Kevin Owens, he comes backstage after the match and goes to Vince. He goes, "We good?" And Vince just goes, "No."
Wow.
He goes, No. So he was not happy with it, and Kevin Owens went in the doghouse for a while after that.
It was a great match.
It was okay match. I thought it was okay.
Good. Yeah.
It was good. Not great. Like, you wanted more stay. I feel like they didn't stick the landing on it. I don't think it's entirely their fault.
Because what was supposed to happen was Kevin and Chris were supposed to wrestle for the Universal title. But then Vince fell in love with the idea of Goldberg coming back and getting that Universal title. Mm. So I think it's hard to deny that it was the best segment that would have gone into a big match. It was supposed to be for a world title that Kevin had at the time.
Well,
so I think that like the fact that that thing was not given the placement and it was not given the attention that it deserved, and instead they just wanted to hot shot it to Brock Lesnar afterwards, is kind of...
That's such classic Vince, where it's like you have a white hot storyline that deserves a proper payout, and instead you bring back some fucking 50-year-old and you have them win the title.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, I think that's my only like curiosity among all of that is like, what did Vince want? What could have gone better for Vince to go, yep.
Yeah.
I think he just didn't like Kevin like doing the moonsault. He didn't want him to do like the kind of high flying stuff that Kevin had done. He did it a lot more at the time, but I don't know. Who can fathom his mind after all?
Yeah. Who knows? He should be on that cruise ship by now.
Kevin doing high flying stuff is what makes him stand out.
Yeah. Exactly. But after he leaves, that was the end of his WWE persona, or personae. But there's still one more era of Chris Jericho, and it is still being written as we speak. In 2017, he made a surprise appearance in New Japan, challenging Kenny Omega. They had an incredible match.
Oh, yeah.
Including him. Doesn't he take the camera for the... I know he pushes the cameraman at somebody. I think he takes the camera from him and starts using it. It's fantastic. That was his first time wrestling outside of the WWE in decades. Here's a clip.
So many have claimed to be the best, from Shawn Michaels to Edge to CM Punk, but they're all gone. And I'm
most
still
foul-mouthed
here.
Version of Chris Jericho, right?
Because I am the
here.
Best in the world. I am the greatest of all time. I am the alpha of this business. And I'm going to prove it. Because I'm challenging you, Kenny.
What?
Jericho versus Kenny.
What?
Alpha versus Omega. To see who is really the best. I want to meet you. January 4th.
What?
To Wrestle Kingdom 12 in the Tokyo Dome.
That can't even happen, can it?
There you have it.
But it did happen, so suck.
Yeah.
If this wasn't a bit for five people, I would just love having wrestling commentators just like commentate on just mundane work meetings. Like, and in the fourth quarter, we saw a 2% gain. Oh my God! 2%! Whoa!
He's topping projections! He's topping projections!
Oh, put this man on the employee of the month list right now!
Can you believe that synergy?
It's boss time.
And Booker T's like, yeah.
Oh, Booker.
I love him though.
Yeah.
He don't have to say much.
Uncle Booker. Uncle Booker's here.
Yeah,
he's coming for you.
He is. So now we are in the, I think we just passed the whack makeup stage
yes.
of Jericho.
Yes.
He was doing that on purpose. It was meant to be whack on purpose.
He wants you to hate it.
He wants you to hate
it. He beats Naito for the IC Championship. He faces Okada for the IWGP Championship.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Alpha has carried over into AEW, where Chris has a date with Hangman Page for the World Championship, their first ever World Championship match, August 31st. That is a Saturday, this Saturday.
Oof.
You can watch All Out and see that match. I feel like he is probably the right person to have the belt for their first television show and then at some point drop it. What does this feel like, a culmination of his career, or is this just another stage and who knows where it ends?
I think it's another stage and who knows where it ends. although if AEW does wind up being successful and it does wind up having longevity, I could easily see the next thing he does being taking more of a backstage role.
Mm. That I 100% agree with that, because remember, before we got into all the New Japan business, there was that period where we thought he was just going to leave wrestling to be a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said as much, and then the ring kept calling to him, the ring, a.k.a. money, kept calling to him. And I do think like this would, because if AEW is supposed to be what everyone's kind of hoping and wishing and thinking it's going to be, which is the kind of new frontier of wrestling, then what better way to set into the sunset than have Jericho put a whole company over, and then his work is done. Not only putting a company over, but finally adding competition to the one man who's kind of, you know, sometimes helped, most of the time hurt wrestling. because I've said this, you can go back to wrestling, like I think it was all the way back when I did Let's Get Ready to Ramble on Hyper, where I said the one thing that I think pro wrestling needs is more competition. Now we're at a point where there's too much wrestling, but it's a good thing. And I think, you know, there's going to be a weird flux, but like if AEW continues to succeed, it's going to put the fire under Vince. Vince, I think, had too much time without competition, so it allowed him to just Vince anything up without kind of repercussions, because we'll complain, but like we like our man fights, so it's going to happen. But now that you can tune into a whole nother show, and you know, like some of the people on this very podcast who have just kind of foregone the WWE brand because of certain shitty decisions they've made, you can totally do that comfortably now because you have AEW. And then, you know, when Lucha Underground comes back, and
I don't know if it's gonna
what
I don't know if it's... I know. My heart is breaking as I'm saying it.
How am I finding out about this live? You heard it here first. If he just found out in my... So is this the rumor mill or
well,
is it kind of...
it hasn't been... They haven't announced a new season.
Listen, if it goes away... I'll make sure we exchange numbers, and you can call me, and I will give you recaps of every episode that would have aired, and it'll be like you watched.
How
it.
Has Lucha
also,
opinions?
Also, it's funny too because yeah, like that's it's gonna make these like these middle ground wrestling. Like we already saw, you know, places like PWG getting their talent sucked right up.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
So I think Lucha Underground is no different. Like you know, AEW, and they got money behind it.
Well, and like if you look at. So there's a lot of different, I'll do this quickly. A lot of their top talent is gone. Rey is gone. Ricochet can't wrestle for them anymore. And yeah, a lot of those other dudes are being swept up by these other, like, you know, ROH contracts. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, there's so much tight. Like, it's really cool. Like, Impact you can watch on Twitch. Like, you know, yeah. Like, you if you're like, oh, man, I don't have the $9.99 I need for WWE.
Or you just don't want to give it to them.
Yeah. You can literally go on Twitch and watch it, and then after you get done, subscribe to my channel, If D's on Twitch, and watch me play.
That was very well done. We have a section for plugs. But
I like to sneak it in at any time.
With that plug, there's no better way to say that does it for this week on Tights and Fights. We're a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, your hosts were Danielle Radford, Iffy Wadiway, and me, Hal Lublin. Iffy, thanks so much for joining
thanks
us.
Thanks for having me. This was a blast.
Outside of your, what was that Twitch channel again?
If D's, IFD. DEEZ on Twitch.
Give me all the plugs. Some more plugs.
Ooh, man, too many podcasts. So definitely on Max Fun, you know, watch along and listen to Who's Shotcha. We drop on Fridays, Nerdificent with my co-host Dane Fernandez. On Tuesdays, Candy Dinner with one of my oldest friends, Matt Apodaca, on Mondays. And like I said, on Twitch. And Thursdays, if you're not tired of hearing my voice, I'm talking sneakers on Twitch on Fresh Stock, live on the Twitch front page.
All right, fantastic.
Front page.
Yeah, it's been nice.
Get it.
Nation of Conversation, I posted this in the Facebook group, but if you're going to be in Atlanta this weekend for Dragon Con, I will be there too. I posted a full schedule. I'm going to be on the Walk of Fame doing shows. I think this is the year that Xavier Woods and I are finally going to meet up because he said he has a lighter schedule.
Yeah. Did you see their Dragon Con gear?
No.
They had full Dragon Con gear this week.
He goes like beyond all out. For Dragon Con.
No, I mean, like, they had, like, their wrestling gear.
Oh, I didn't know.
Like, it was designed to look like, I don't know if it's the carpet or, like, their promotional stuff.
Oh, is it the Marriott carpet?
Maybe.
Is it, like, a grid?
Yeah.
Like, oh, thank God.
Like they've said, like, that is their Dragon Con gear. Like, they had that specifically
fantastic.
Named.
Yeah. There's a whole story behind that. That's for another time. Go to dragoncon.org for more info or download the app. Get the schedule. You can find me. Come say hi. I'm always happy to meet members of the Nation of Conversation. Say hello. Danielle, what do you want to plug?
As per usual, watch the Honest Trailers because that keeps me paid. What else am I working on? I'm working on a bunch of stuff. Listen to my wrestling podcast, Tights and Fights, on the Max Fun Network if you get a chance. Lindsay's not here, but you know what you can do? You can go and buy her books, Cinders and Sparks, and I Heart Hawaii.
Yes. And her whole back catalog.
And her whole
available.
Back catalog. All the iHearts. If you want to heart it up, you can be hearty.
I Heart Plugging Lindsay.
I Heart Plugging Lindsay. Also, I believe, didn't Mike just put out a single?
Mm-hmm.
I think he just put out a single. So go check out that as well.
Yeah, he's a very active human being.
Yes.
Should be also, followed at all costs.
I'm going to do one more because we're not putting anything over, but this is very... So the wrestler Effie, who I love, he just put out a new fragrance and I just like seeing wrestlers do different weird shit, so...
Do it. Listen to this week's episode. We got this. It's Marvel's birthday and we did Best Marvel Cinematic Universe Villain. You will have opinions. We did too. Our producer shares a birthday with Chris Jericho. That's Mr. Julian Burrell. He's up to $1.75 on the bench, but we know he can hit three bills before December. Senior producer of Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle's the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Links to all of those are in our show notes. And if you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Let our nation grow. And thank you so much to the Maximum Fund members who have a portion of their recurring monthly contribution. Keep the lights on while we are here. We always appreciate your support. We would not be here without you. And we'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.